Coming up, the Agent 001 V2 prototype is here. I get my first bird knife and then smooth on washers. You don't need no stinking bearings. I'm Bob DeMarco. This is the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome back to the show. One of my favorite comments from this past week was from Agent Orange Peel, old friend of the channel. He says, haha, you got me with that Gerber paraframe. This was on my list of 10 great urban survival knives. You got me with that Gerber paraframe. That was my coworker's ultimate knife. I got him a Rat 2, and finally he changed his mind. He's saying this because I'm always bad-mouthing the Gerber frame, or at least as long as I've been doing this. But in this case, for urban survival, for something you can ditch, but that's still pretty sturdy and is serrated and don't cut in a pinch, Gerber paraframe is pretty good. And it was shocking, number 8. Thank you, Agent Orange Peel. And next, from Stuart Trollings, 602. Funny that you have a seal pup in your bag. I've had one for 30 years and it's still sharp. Great shape too. And those darn moras. Many have many and never enough. Thanks for the show. Glad you got your stitch. But I really like that seal pup comment because it's a long-running knife, and it's part of the MACV SOG history. But it really, it's like the most practical and probably the most used of all the MACV SOG knives. So really cool to see. Thanks, Stuart Trolling, and thank you for everyone who watched, listened, commented, liked, and shared with your friends. Greatly appreciated. Well, that's it. Let us get to a pocket check.
What's in his pocket? Let's find out. Here's the Knife Junkie with his pocket check of knives.
In my front right pocket was the Microtech SOCOM Elite, my 2013 model. This is my first ever Microtech, first ever S35VN, first ever bearings knife. And it goes with me when I'm in the car for longer than an hour. That's basically the rule. This is my road trip knife, even if the road trip is a brief one. And had one this past weekend for a volleyball tournament. And so this was in the pocket, and it stayed in the pocket for a few days. You know, I've been on my Microtech kick. And so to revisit this old friend after carrying the Bravo so much, and then the Amphibian and the Stitch all new, and my auto SOCOM new traded, you know, for that one. It's great to have this old one in pocket. So this is the one I had on me today. It's funny, when I carry this, it's so tactical. It's so hardcore. You've seen all the testing videos. And yet, I always end up cutting food with it. It's kind of funny, because you don't think of a Tonto as a food knife. But actually, it's great for cutting waffles. You'll find diner waffles, because that front that front edge lands on the plate at the perfect angle. I like to cut between the cups, so that you have little individual bites with its own little cup of syrup. So yeah, hardcore usage. Hopefully, if all goes according to plan, that is as hardcore as it gets for me. All right, next up in my front left pocket, usually, but depending on my phone situation, today was the GEC number 15, the boy's knife, and this in its probably in its most classic form, and that is as a boy's knife, which is just that drop point blade, single blade in that handle. But I am so in love with GEC's Autumn Jig Bone. I'm not exactly sure if that's what they call it. They have a number of different jig bone dies that look like this, and they always have Autumn in the name. I just think they're beautiful. Autumn is my favorite season, at least until winter comes, and I just love the colors. And, you know, they're the colors I prefer to wear. You know, that sort of earth tone, though I'm in cool colors right now, but I just love those tones, you know, the tones of nature. And so, of all the materials on slip joint knives, dyed bone is my favorite. And of all the dyed bones, it's that autumn jigging, that autumn jig bone. So the autumn colors like the reds, the yellows, the oranges. So love that knife and all of its kind. I've been carrying so many modern slip joints lately. It's been nice to dip back into my pretty dang nice GEC collection. All right, my fixed blade today in appendix carry was the Pinkerton, Dirk Pinkerton custom fire ant. Here it is in its great sheath. This is a piece of tire, or inner tube, bike inner tube. And I have it there because I didn't want to drill a new hole in the sheath. And to fit this clip, I needed, another hole there. So I didn't want to put that in. So I tightened this bottom one. I don't like them too tight anyway, because they clamp down on the sheath, make it harder to draw. As you can see, the clip here goes over onto the contour of the blade that pinches the sheath even more there. So I like to keep it somewhat loose. And then this piece of inner tube over the clip keeps it in place, but keeps it flexible. And also that rubbery feel keeps it from shifting around in my waist. All right, so let's look at the knife. Beautiful triple-edged sheep's foot, I guess you would call that. I've been calling it a Warncliffe, but a Warncliffe, I'm told, is a continuous curve from the thumb ramp, basically, to the tip. This one with that blue and black rich light, which I find so beautiful. Triple edge in that it's got a main edge here, it's got a top edge here, and it's got a front edge there. Reverse tanto, let's call it. Oof. Great jimping, great thumb ramp here. A D2 blade steel. This is just an awesome defensive EDC. It would be a very good box opener if you needed it. If you wanted a knife to do double duty and you really wanted to lean into the defensive part of it, this would be great. Because of that, all of those cutting edges, the discreet size, but you get a full forefinger grip on it. A great pommel for the thumb to grip over. And so I have it set up to pull in reverse draw, but you can easily turn it around and turn your hand around and draw it in saber grip. Anyway, love that knife. Find it really rewarding to have custom knives from people that I like Dirk Pinkerton, for instance. I love his designs, and he's a great guy. And you'll find that custom fixed blade knives are not nearly as expensive. Is that a double negative? They don't cost as much as folding custom knives. So you can support your favorite custom makers by buying their fixed blade knives because they're within reach. And who knows, maybe if you have the urge someday, you save up and get the folders. I don't have too many custom folders. They don't do it for me as much, I gotta say, as carrying something like this. All right, lastly on the list, speaking of custom fixed blades by cool people, this is the Auxiliary Manufacturing Pocket Buoy. Carrying this one today, in the waistband, on the other side, so basically like 9 o'clock for left-hand draw, and then the string here, I have this. This works really easily, you know, this det cord sort of thing, where this is tied to your belt or your belt loop, and then you draw it, and you draw the knife far enough, and it comes out of the sheath, and then the sheath falls and dangles at your waist as you go to town with your knife. It works really easily on this knife. It's because it's a pretty small, yet for me, full forefinger grip knife, and it tucks away real nicely. This one is Nitro V, and here, let me show it up close. It is a really beautiful knife. Orange and green G10 has a sort of camping feel to me. And then micarta pins are very handsome in there. And then that recurve is devilish, and it's got a very stout blade and point. So for me, of course, I always think of it as a defensive knife, but would make just an excellent all-arounder if you're carrying one knife. I would say that would be an excellent one-knife option for a fixed blade. So this is what I have in my pocket today, the Microtech SOCOM Elite, the GEC number 15 boys knife, the Fire Ant, custom by Dirk Pinkerton, and the Auxiliary Manufacturing Pocket Bowie. All really astoundingly awesome knives, and two of them from people that have been on this show. So it's always a joy to carry something from someone that I've had a conversation with, whose knives I like. Okay, the April Gentleman Junkie giveaway is coming up on Thursday. Thursday Night Knives, April 18th. And that is so far off from the recording of this, I haven't quite decided what we will be giving away. But you better bet in the interim, we will have a random knife giveaway or two at Thursday Night Knives. I just love doing that. And plus, we have some very generous viewers of the show, like this old sword, who sends me a lot of cool stuff. All right, let me show off this. I got this from Tim Kell this past week, and this is the version 2, or the final version, basically, of the prototype of the knife we are doing together. This is my design blade, this was my design, and he tweaked it. So it's a true collaboration, and it's awesome. So this is a resin 3D print. It feels different from the 3D prints you may have experienced so far, and it's very robust. Like, you could use this as one of those knives you sneak into non-permissive environments with. It's pretty flexible. If you made it a little thicker, it'd be better. But it's in any case, it's a great approximation of the real thing. He actually printed out separate handle scales with that grenade grip and put them on there. I want to show you some of the differences since last I showed you this prototype. This was the first one. Let's start from the blade. A slightly bit more of a clip there, but basically the same shape. He added that sharpening choil, which definitely is great for sharpening, obviously. For me, I just think it looks cool. I think it looks really cool, but I also am happy that it's there for sharpening. I don't plan on using that back edge so much that it needs to be sharpened, but give me that choil every time. Great jimping. Now you can see the grenade grip here. Same sharpening choil down here. And plunge grind and all that. Now back here, we added jimping. Three jimps here, three jimps there. And it's right there next to that glass breaker, which I was, first of all, you can see much better on the new prototype here. I was afraid that was going to be a hot spot because you know how much I like to put my thumb up there. That's the whole reason this thumb area is there, and it's the whole reason the jimping is there, because this is the primary way I want to be drawing it myself, personally. It's great in forward grip, too, but this is my thing here. I like it like that. And I was worried that this point here, that pyramidal glass breaker on the top of the pommel there, was going to get in the way, but it doesn't. Oh, it just melts in. It's perfect, like in that crook of your thumb. So I'm very excited about this. This is the Agent 001. I love TKL knives, and I'm so thrilled that we could collaborate on this. And he's a great guy. He's great to collaborate with. I love talking with him and working things out. But besides all that, I just can't wait to have it on my belt. I'll be carrying it quite a bit. Also, speaking of knife junkie knife news, I'm not going to show them here, but yesterday I got pictures of the work in progress of the prototype of the Nova 2, which I guess it's no secret now, I let you know. It's a Warncliffe, or sort of reverse Tonto, I guess, but with a very, point-driven geometry. It's really, really nice. And he ground it perfectly. And he said, funny enough, he said, on paper, I wasn't so psyched about this design. To be honest, but once I ground it out, he loves it. So I don't know, maybe sometimes you just need a little bit of contact with the thing and interact with the thing to appreciate it. I'm glad he likes it, because of course that will imbue it with even more knife power. All right, still to come, we're going to do knife life news. But before we do, I just want to say, if you like the show and you want to help support it, you can go to Patreon. See the different tiers of support you can sign up for. And at the top tier of support, you're a gentleman junkie. Middle tier, you're a tactical junkie. And the $3 tier, you're a traditional junkie. So all great knives, traditional knives, tactical knives, gentleman knives. Those in the gentleman junkie category get put into a monthly knife drawing that we do right here on Thursday Night Knives. But whether you're in that category, tactical or traditional, I just want you to know that I really appreciate it. You're going above and beyond, and it's and Jim and I both appreciate it. So thank you very much. Quickest way to get there is to scan the QR code right here or go to theknifejunkie.com/Patreon. I'll repeat that complicated address. It's theknifejunkie.com/Patreon.
Among this week's specials at Knives Ship Free, the Bark River Knives Petty Z in thin CPM 154 is made for gliding through food prep. Find your favorite handle and order while it's still in stock. The Spyderco Native Chief Lightweight is now available in a combo edge blade. This lockback has a 4-inch BD1N blade and weighs in at 3.1 ounces, a full-size folder that you can carry all day. And RMJ's popular pry tool is back in stock in CPM 3V tool steel. It features a large finger ring for easy deployment and a molded Kydex sheath with reversible clip attachment. Get these deals and other great specials from Knives Ship Free. Just use our affiliate link, theknifejunkie.com/knivesshipfree. Support the show and get a great new knife at the same time. theknifejunkie.com/knivesshipfree.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. And now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
Okay, before I get into Knife Life news, this is a message to the rare, I guess the rare person is the one who watches the ads, but if you skip over the Knife Ship Free thing to get to the next thing, the next segment here, don't. Knife Ship Free, every week they have the coolest artwork and specials of these amazing knives that come across the screen. And I always want to say, did you see that Native Chief with the combo blade? Because I'm into serrations right now. That looks so sweet. I want it. It's the lightweight. But I can never assume that anyone's watching that. So if you're going to watch any of them, watch that first one because it's Knife Ship Free. They're awesome. And I haven't gotten anything from them in ages. So I got to change that up right now. Well, maybe not right now. Right now, let me get to this. The Svord peasant knife. You know, that's the Swedish version, basically, of the French Opinel. A lot of different cultures have their peasant knife. You know, we kind of have the Sodbuster. Or the Barlow, that's not necessarily a peasant's knife, but a working knife. Over in Europe, they have the Opinel from France. They have the Cat knife from Germany. I can never remember the name of that one. And then they have the Svord peasant knife. So anyway, this is the Svord peasant knife, one that I've always liked. It's a friction folder, and it's very inexpensive, and it comes in a variety of handles and a very rough sort of forged blade. Let me just preface this by saying they're a company out of New Zealand, which I also find kind of fascinating. I've always thought it's a fascinating country ever since Lord of the Rings. But the company is helmed by master cutler Brian Baker. I just wanted to throw that in because I didn't know that until I did a little research on this. But this is a smaller version of the peasant knife, and it's featuring something rare, this new steel called Damax steel. And Damax is made by, Alima, which is the current name for Sandvik. So that Swedish blade company, Sandvik, I guess is going by Alima now. But they are making the first Damascus steel produced on an industrial scale. And it's stainless, 7C27MO2 and 19C27. Those are the two blade steels. That's about as nerdy as I get with steel. Both mid-level steels there, good corrosion resistant, decent edge retention, and easy to sharpen. That beautiful handle is Wenjwood. It's an African hardwood, and it's available now. So if you like friction folders, and if you're a fan of this, I would imagine, just like there are people out there who collect and mod Opinels, I would imagine that there are people out there who are into the Svord peasant knife, and they are all over this one. Just a quick note, this is a smaller blade, 2.5 inches. I think the regular one is closer to 3 inches. That is out and available now. All right, next up, James Brand, the Klein. That's their first USA-made folder. Gets a new marbled carbon fiber handle. Here's the scandal. The carbon fiber is officially named molten carbon fiber and has kind of a different look than marbled carbon fiber. So that said, that molten carbon fiber is made by a company called Protec, not that Protec, as Ben Schwartz says, not the makers of the automatic knife. But so this one is a 3.4-inch Magnacut blade with super thin hollow grind, which is exciting. A great EDC knife if you can afford it. And it's got their slide lock, which is like an access lock. I've always called the James brand knives kind of lifestyle knives, and I think they probably would not take exception to that. And I have frequently, with a sporting attitude, taken little jabs at them. Oh, they're hipster, this and that. But from all accounts, they make great knives. And I had one James brand knife here on loan, and it was that little climbing knife. And that was pretty cool, pretty well made. So I don't mean to dish on them unnecessarily. They've stuck around, so that means something too. Longevity means something. If they were true hipsters who didn't care about knives, they would have moved on. But I think it's also cool that they're producing knives for people who, A, can afford them, and B, who probably, many of them, maybe aren't knife people necessarily, but they love well-made things and everything that they buy. And you know what I'm saying? So if I'm going to get a modern pocket knife, it's going to be something stylish and very, very well made. And, you know, could be this molten carbon. I'm sorry. If you're looking for the molten carbon fiber, you're going to be missing out. So look for the, what were they calling it? Not molten. Marbled. That's what they were calling it. All right, I've said enough about that. Cool knife. They have a couple cool knives over there. Many cool knives at James Brand, actually. All right, next up is Wee Knives. They have a new collaboration with Torby Knives. They've done two with Torby in the past, big fixed blades. And this one is the Yard Bird. It's cool. It looks actually kind of bird-like. It's taking a Warncliffe blade with that... I want to say upswept edge that makes it more like a Kiridashi than a Warncliffe in the presentation of a point and the edge. And it puts it on a very modern titanium and G10 karambit handle with a spine-mounted clip. I do not like the spine-mounted clips. I just don't like how they feel in pocket. They kind of twist your pocket a little. But that's just me. I know it's an innovation that is well appreciated in certain corners of the knife world. So I'm not dissing it. It's just not my thing. But the handle looks very comfortable. I do like the jimping all the way around the ring, because if you're gripping tight or if you have it in reverse grip and you don't have your finger through the ring, it's good for the thumb. Or if you have your finger in the ring and you're flipping it around doing your karambit tricks, it's great for arresting motion. Just clamp your thumb down on that jimping and it stops. I think it's a beautiful looking knife. I think it's pretty cool. Maybe too many notes for me personally. These are not the kind of knives I necessarily carry. I appreciate them though, especially the more tactical, the better. The blade steel on this 20 CV and the button lock is on the left hand side. It's as if this were a lefty setup blade. Yep, there's a button lock if you flip that knife over. So kind of odd that they would put it on that side. But hey, I guess lefty rights too, you know. Last up, Giant Mouse, the Iona. So the Iona V2 is coming out in a limited edition. Actually, it's already out in a limited edition. And it's two different kinds. One of them is an aluminum handle, anodized bronze with magna cut steel. And the other is a titanium handle. With S90V. They made 400 of the aluminum with magna cut and 300 of the tie with S90V. And they're calling that second titanium version instead of the Iona, the Tiona. Love it. If you don't know Giant Mouse, you've been living under a rock, but it's a company formed between the two very famous and well-loved Danish knife designers, Jens Anzo and Jesper Voxnes. So the two powerhouse designers, and they always make beautiful knives together. They do make beautiful music together, as the old line used to be. I just think every knife that they put out together is recognizable. And it seems like separately, every knife that they themselves make on their own and design are recognizable as theirs. They're two very talented and very what do you want to say? That? Two designers that have very strong styles. And together, I think it's really good. Luckily, everything they do is pretty much below my size range. And so I can kind of dismiss them from my must collect category. So there you go. These are available now. I do suggest you jump on it because I think there are some super fans of Giant Mouse. And if you're looking to get into an Iona V2 and you want one of these special versions, you better jump in there because you do know that the collectors will be all over it. All right. That is it for Knife Life News this week. Be sure to check out all the other shows we have here. You can subscribe. All the other shows, meaning Thursday Night Knives and the Sunday interview show. I, for instance, just got to talk to, and you'll hear this interview next week, but just got to talk to someone whose videos I've been watching for years, 12 years. And it was really good to meet him and talk with him. And I felt like I knew so much about him felt like I knew him already. It was just a great conversation. So tune into the other shows we have here, and also check out us on Facebook, check us out on Instagram, but especially go to theknifejunkie.com, the website. Jim just knocks it out of the park over there, and it has everything you want right there. All right, let's come up on State of the Collection right after these here messages.
The Shockwave Tactical Torch is your ultimate self-defense companion. Featuring a powerful LED bulb that lasts 100,000 hours, a super sharp crenulated bezel, and built-in stun gun delivering 4.5 million volts. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose the Shockwave Tactical Torch. TheKnifeJunkie.com/Shockwave.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
The one new knife I got this week was the Bird Caracara Serrated. I am really excited about this knife, and not necessarily the kind of knife you'd expect me to be really excited about. It's like a cheap Spyderco, right? And it's about the size of an Endura, and Bob, you rarely ever carry your Endura unless you're painting the house. Like, why are you so excited about this? Well, first of all, it inspired today's topic of conversation, because it's so smooth, and yeah, it's on washers. And this is something we've been talking a bit about on Thursday Night Knives. It's been coming up. I love washer knives. It's just my that's where I started out. You know, a lot of new collectors or collectors who are performance driven really have gone whole hog into the bearings, as have all the makers. Like, looking at my collection now, it's definitely bearings heavy. But I still love this hydraulic slow roll feel of washers. So that was one thing. The other thing, the real reason I got this, that was the bonus once I got it. Man, this is smooth. I didn't know what to expect, you know? An inexpensive Spyderco. Well, I should have known that it would be great. But Scott Babb of Libre Knife Fighting, a guy that I've been talking with, and get him on the show. I can't wait to have him on the show to talk to him. But he's the guy who developed Libre Knife Fighting, which is really, it's like pick-haul knife fighting. So the tip down, edge in, hammer fist style of fighting. And this is the folder he uses, because you can just wave it out of the pocket with the Emerson Wave, which is, it's a patent, or they have, let's see, how do they do this? They've licensed it from, Spyderco has licensed the Wave from Emerson. And I think you see that, like my wife, I got my wife a Waved Delica, and it has the patent number and says Emerson on it. Now, this one does not. I'm wondering if it just falls under the umbrella of Spyderco's license, and so they didn't bother putting it on here. But in any case, it's really handy, as are all Waves. And I have the clip mounted for left-hand carry. I don't carry this on the left-hand side. I carry this in my right back pocket, or sometimes in my right front pocket, but I'm a little squeamish about that, and I'll tell you why in a second. But what you do is you draw it, and boom, it opens up, as it will with a Wave. And then you just roll it in your hand, and you have it in tip-down, edge-in position. It's very easy. I'm going to do it with my right hand here. Very easy. As you draw, comes out like this, and you just roll it. and your grip, you're going to be doing that anyway. And if you were trying to have the edge out, you would have to readjust. So in this case, it's just very natural, intuitive, and it brings you right into that fighting grip. I opted for the serrations. I love serrations right now. I'm just into them. I want to do a demo video with serrations, but that I would have to dull the rest of the blade to do what I'm thinking of. But I guess that's, I could do that with this because this is 8CR13 MOV, which is very easy to resharpen. And so, yeah, I'm very, very happy, very impressed with this. It was like $45, I believe. It's got a little landing pad for the clip so that you don't mash up and tear up your pants because the texturizing here is dual directional. So when you pull back this way, you feel the grip. If you push forward this way, you feel the grip. So nice. It's kind of like the bidirectional texturing of the Delica, but it's a little different. All right, enough said about this. I really, really dig it. And if you're on the fence and you were thinking about trying out a bird knife, but you're like, oh, you know, it's not a Spyderco. That is true. It's not a Spyderco. As a matter of fact, you can feel that in certain finishing areas. Like this, the edge of the lock here is sharp. They just needed to knock that down a little bit. But that's part of why this is inexpensive. And just in use and carry, it bothers me less, but I still want to take like my diamond stone and just a few times just on the corners. You feel a little bit of that. I used to feel a little bit of that on this FRN, but it seems like going in and out of the pocket and handling it has either, you know, kind of pushed it down and kind of formed it together or abraded it away. Very impressed with this knife. Very good price. And if you're on the fence, I say get off the fence and go for it. Check it out. If you don't like it, you can drop it in the car door pocket and it'll be there in a pinch. And you'll be happy about that. Okay, I want to remind you about the t-shirts we have and show you this week's t-shirt. This is Life's Tough. Get a sharper knife, dude. This is a design by Jim. Jim has multiple, I mean, when I say multiple, I mean like over 50 at this point, t-shirt designs in our shop, our swag shop. TheKnifeJunkie.com/shop is where you go. And actually, you can scroll through the pages and see all this awesome knife content t-shirtage that Jim is designing. So be sure to go to the featured t-shirt of the week at TheKnifeJunkie.com/shop. Alrighty, let's talk about this for a second. Here in the modern era, it's almost like this is what people expect out of their knives, out of their folders. And if you're only listening, you can tell what that is. I'm pulling the lock back on the Snex designed Fusion FG. And just to illustrate how easy it is to flip and close and flip and close and fidget and flip and close. This could be the modern day version, the Knife Junkie's version of grinding your teeth. You know, it's like, the weight of the world is on my shoulders. Information overload. And I just have to get some energy out somehow. And this is just so gratifying, physically gratifying. But you know what else is gratifying? And I'm going to show you with a couple of also-rans that are not going to be in this list. Here are three examples of very smooth washer knives. First one, this is the Civivi Picaro. This is one of the few Civivis you'll find on washers, and it's so gratifying to open and close. It's super smooth. There's no part of it that stutters. It's not like the action is glass the whole way. This one, this is a real steel H6 Blue Sheep, and it's got nearly fall shut action, but that same ultra smooth flicking and closing, all on washers. Phosphor bronze, but they don't have to be, as you'll see from this list. There are Nylatron washers and all. I think that's, no, these are brass, or these are phosphor bronze. This is the old M1. This is the first, this is the second run of the Combative Edge M1. That flipper is merely a guard or something to start the action. This is not a flipper. This is definitely a thumb stud knife. But on washers, it is so smooth. So why do we have to have the knife fall shut? Are we that lazy? I mean, I know we are that lazy, but is it about that? No, it's not about that. It's about how it feels. So I'm here to say that if smooth is your thing and not necessarily free moving, if smooth is your thing, reconsider washer knives. I want to start bringing them back a little bit more. I'm getting a little tired of the bearings all the time, the bearings. First up on this list is the Cold Steel AD10. Phosphor bronze washers in there. The drop shot, really. I mean, this is a fidgety triad lock knife. And I got to say, many of them are. And by that, I mean, not only fidgety on the close, because you can always, on all of these Cold Steel knives, put your finger forward in the choil and drop it, and the ricasso will land on your finger, not the sharpened blade, and you can close it from there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual opening. I'm going to use my right hand here because my left hand... Look, you can just flick that open without risk. So if it's the fidget you're looking for, you can get the fidget in this. You say, but aren't bearings like higher technology? Isn't that like an advancement? Isn't that innovation an advancement? Well, I don't think all innovations are necessarily advancements. Not on certain knives. I'll give you, for instance, the Demco AD20. I love that knife. You know I love that knife. It is a hard-use knife all day long. But sometimes I wonder, what if sand and grit and gunk get in those bearings? It'll probably still open, but it'll grind open. But with washers, there's no way for that grit to get in there. I mean, you'll still feel grit outside of the washers between the handle material or the liner material and the blade, but not where the washers are. Whereas you can get sand and grit in between the bearings where the bearings are. And I guess that's what I'm getting at. With this, that's not going to happen. Super smooth. And then, of course, Cold Steel, super sturdy and durable. Great heat treats on Cold Steel knives. You know, there's fingerprints on a lot of these. And, you know, I don't have my cleaning cloth around me, so I'm not going to obsess. I'm going to live on the edge here. This was from the first run of these. So that blade is hollow ground, which is awesome. And it's also S35U. Yeah, S35U. This is one that has gotten a lot of use over the past few years. Next up, now, it's anything from this company, as is it's pretty much anything from Cold Steel. I don't think they have any washer knives, unless there's something brand new, unless the Mayhem has it. I'm not sure. Everything from Spyderco, almost everything from Spyderco is on washers, and almost everything from Spyderco is just ridiculously smooth and fidgety. This, of course, has the awesome compression lock, and that compression lock really is quite strong because it's a leaf spring that pops into the path of the tang and has a tab that lands in a perfectly milled notch. And so you would basically have to shear the metal off of the lock spring to get this thing to close on you. So what's more likely to happen is the handle's going to break or the blade's going to break before the lock fails. So very strong lock, but also just extremely fidgety in the right hand. I do not find it very fidgety in the left hand. As a matter of fact, when I do it in the left hand, I feel like it just might fall out of my hands. But with the right hand, all day long. And that's on washers, people. That just fell shut. Here, let me go over here and just look at this. Free hanging, free falling. No bearings. So Spyderco, Yojumbo are my favorites. But look at anything else. Look at the military, the paramilitary, the Sage series. None of those have bearings, and they all get super smooth. But I think the concern is this. There are so many companies, there are so many knives, and people trying to grab attention that no one is willing to put in the time to break in a knife. And yeah, I know you shouldn't have to break in a knife, but I mean, you know, knives get nicer as you use them, and that's called break-in. And with washers, it's worth the wait. But I think that people go through so many knives, especially people like me, that companies want to offer immediate break-in. And I guess that's to be expected, and I guess I shouldn't be complaining, but this is me starting to sound like an old man, isn't it? You kids can't wait for your knives to break in. Next is the QSP Penguin. I'm loving this knife. I mean, I've loved this knife for a long time, but I just was going through my, for lack of a better term, awesome Chinese folders that I have no heartfelt connection to sell to a neighbor and to you all when I post them. But this one, I was like, I'm going to keep this one. It is, first of all, it's just stupidly smooth on these washers, and it didn't start that way, but it got that way after like a day of use. This has come out of the collection, and it's on the desk pretty permanently, where I keep a bunch of knives over here, and this is one that just gets used now, just random use, and I'm glad I pulled it out, because this is not one that I consider collectible in that it's not doesn't have a lot of the qualities that I find precious, other than it's just a really, really good utility pocket knife. So QSP, baby. They got a lot of really cool knives, and they do a really great job with their slip joint knives. And if there's any connection between the ability to make a really great slip joint knife and the ability to make a really good washer knife, it would be through them. All right. Next up is the Benchmade. Yes, Benchmade Bug Out. And I say yes, Benchmade, because I don't have very many. You don't hear me talk about them too much. But this sucker is amazing. My Bug Out is so smooth. It may as well have washers, this one. Here, I'm going to come to the main cam so I can show it drop in dramatic fashion. See that? It falls and it swings. And so loose, but there's no play. It's totally tight. Oh, wait. Maybe there's just the slightest bit of acceptable use, but it almost feels more like I'm forcing it. But you get this. That swinging action. No bearings, but you get the stoutness of the washers in this very, very thin package. Now, what do you think? Do you feel more confident when you have a washer knife in hand and you're doing something critical or maybe harder than usual? Or do you feel better with with bearings? I used to think that bearings automatically centered a knife, and they kind of do in a way. And that was a big draw, but I'm starting to feel like the sturdiness, the durability might just be in the washers. What do you think? Am I being an old fart about this? Let me know. Next one is the Emerson, in this case, the Saks, the Emerson Saks, but I could have pulled out any one of my Emersons. They are finicky bastards, I will tell you. They bloom into like the most wonderful knives, but they do go through a break-in sort of period. At least the older ones did. I just recently got the Tim Kennedy folder, and my buddy had it for a while, and maybe he broke it in, but it came super smooth to me. And now that they're doing the single detent, I mean, they've been doing that now for 8 years, so I shouldn't say now. But with the single detent, it really adds to how it flies open. Not very good with my thumb, let me see, and my right-hand side. But very, very smooth. Again, these are bronze washers, phosphor bronze washers, and very, very smooth. Sometimes you can look down in and see the color. I don't think you can at that light. But, so all the Emerson knives have that sturdy feel to them. No back and forth wiggle, unless you don't tighten it down properly. And tighten it down with your Swiss Army knife or any other, random thing that fits there. That's what I always love about their pivot. Really built for the field. So super sturdy. And no frills, are the Emerson knives. And it's no surprise that they're on washers. I know they have the Sheepdog. I know that their flippers are on washers. But I got to tell you, I've had those on loan, and I find them, I don't know, suspicious. At least the one I had, it was nice, but I didn't like it. I didn't like the feel that on an Emerson. I didn't like that. I don't know. Not an Emerson flipper guy. And bearings, for me, definitely not. All right, speaking of Emerson, this is an Emerson design from Zero Tolerance. And a bunch of Zero Tolerances that I have are on washers. They kind of split it. At least in my collection, the only one on bearings is my 0452. Now, I know they have a lot of bearings knives, but I love this one. So this one feels, here, you can, there is an ungimped extension to the tang there that you can easily use as a front flipper. You can even do it with my rollover with my front finger. So it is incredibly smooth. It's got a great detent too. It's dialed in perfectly for flicking and stuff like that. But also, it doesn't shake out, which I like. There are certain knives I like that I can shake out, but those are bigger bladed knives where, you know, like the big cold steels where you're letting the blade weight come out so you can deploy it quickly and look gnarly. I like that on some knives, but definitely not on my EDC. Not a big fan of that. And so this has a great detent, but just a super smooth action on those washers. And I think the knife would have a different character with washers. I feel like knives do have a different character with washers. They're just a little precious. And hey, I like precious things. I'm not saying that in a necessarily a bad way, but it's sort of like, you know what I mean. Next up in this list is the Kara Kara. I will be brief with this one because I was just waxing poetic about it. But again, this is the one that inspired this conversation, this one-way conversation. And yeah, I'm a big fan of this. I look forward to, this has been not only a back pocket, but a drop in the coat pocket. We've had a cold snap here. I've been wearing my winter coat again. And I always have a pocket, a knife in the right hand pocket. And this one is cool to drop in like this here. Drop in like this. So I'm walking this way. And so it's riding, with the spine up or with the lock up and the point forward. So when I pull it out of my coat pocket, I can snag it on the pocket and open it. Yeah, I know. I know. It doesn't come up when I go to Wegmans, which just, you know, the place I end up going the most during the week. I love that place. All right, next up, the Mekong Delta Combat Folder from Resco Instruments and Gooseworks. Gooseworks. But who made this knife? This is Bestech. Bestech. They have made what seems to be a classic American style frame lock folder. I say American style, like in the tradition of the Spartan Harzy folder, the Sebenza, the Strider, the, you know, some of those knives. It just has that super glassy feel and the incredibly stout build. I'm very fond of telling this story. You've heard it several times at this point, but I thought that this was an American made knife and I was all thrilled with its, because I love the knife itself, and it was really exciting to have felt like I was on the vanguard of a new American knife company after watching NAF Sargent's video about this and then jumping on it. And then it turns out it's produced by Bestech, which is great too, because I love Bestech. It kind of yanked some of the mythology I was building around this knife like a pearl, but I still love the knife. So it just goes to show that Bestech, a company that is known for its super high performance, modern flippers and folders, can really do an old school style frame lock folder with washers super, super well. This thing, I swear to God, it feels, I shouldn't swear to God, it's lame. I swear, on my knife collection, this thing feels like a Sebenza, like a Spartan Harzy folder, like a Strider. Just super, super smooth. and not falling shut, but you're always in control of the opening and closing. Love it. Resco Instruments. I really like this thing. I went on their website recently to see if they had the micarta version with the hollow grind, and it was gone, and I hope they make more, because I want that version of this knife even more than this version. Okay, next up is Three Rivers Manufacturing Atom. Now, this one, like the Neutron, is comes and goes. It's not that it comes and goes, but it's hard to get your hands on because they don't make huge batches of them, and you can't necessarily predict when they're going to be coming out. You just got to kind of get on the newsletter, get on the Instagram, and just kind of follow them and see when they're dropping stuff. A very, very good EDC knife. It's super simple, thin, very, very thin and light. You've got a 3.6-inch blade, so in my wheelhouse, very capable. I like that the point, it's a drop point, but the point is low, and it doesn't have a huge belly. It has a very nice length of straight, and then it has a slight belly up to that tip. The tip is nice and low, very good for utility. Very good ergonomics and simple. One of the unique selling propositions of this knife and the Neutron and many other, numerous other, maybe all other Three River Manufacturing knives, which are made up in Massachusetts, by the way, is the fact that you can swap out handle scales without taking apart the knife. All you have to do is remove these two screws and it lifts off. You don't have to remove the pivot or the body screws. So it makes A, swapping scales easy and gives you options. I have a whole bunch of scales for this. I have like 5 different pair, and I can swap them out as I desire, and feels like I have a new knife. But also, it's a great way for a company to sell scales. Come up with a way to make it easy and fast to swap scales. I think NAFS does this now. And you can just sell tons of scales, because who doesn't want a whole bunch of, if you like the knife, if you're a fan of the TRM Atom, it's, you can present, and you're a knife junkie, you're going to want more of them. Oh, I need one with a black blade. I need one with a this and a that. But this way you don't really have to do that. You can just, buy scales. And for a company that doesn't put out millions of knives, that's good for them too. It kind of reduces a little bit of pressure. This is a great knife. Just having it in hand and opening it and looking at it, I need to carry this more. I don't carry this enough. I did for a while, and it's been a while. This will be a great summer knife. I'm going to have to bring this out in the summer again because of its thinness and its lightness. Also very capable. That's a 20 CV blade. Very thin and really, really beautifully honed and sharpened. Sharpened and honed. Next up. This and its big brother, this is the Ontario Rat Model 2. Super sharp, smooth. This is one, I call this Pinky Tuscadero. My daughter, I got this for me through my wife when she was little. And, I had the Model 1, the Rat 1, but didn't really appreciate the line until I got the Model 2, because this one, pretty much from day one, was super easy to flick open. This is one of the first knives where I started just flicking them with my thumb. It was always either slow roll with a knife or flipping with a knife. This is a knife I started flicking on, and then my tenacious, I started finger flicking, you know, middle finger flicking. So this was a bit of a landmark knife for me for a lot of reasons, but one of them is just how very, very smooth this is. And we all know how durable the Rat folders are. It's this smooth with zero play. And to me, that is the sign of something that's really, really well engineered, of a knife that's really well engineered. It's got no play, tight tolerances, and super smoothness. And the design has grown on me. I remember, well, probably 12 years back or so, with this knife, I was like, man, it's just ugly. Like the way it steps up and the sort of generic drop point blade, the way this, you know, thumb ramp steps up and the spine is above the level of the, of the back of the handle. I don't know. Something about this proportions bothered me. But, you know, over time, I've grown to love it. You have a place to choke up here that's not a choil, which I also like. I would prefer a handguard like this that you can come up onto than a choil that takes up space, cutting edge space. So the Rat 2, the Rat 1, good to go. Smooth on washers. Penultimate knife here is the Spartan Harzy Folder. This one is just, again, a very, very smooth washer knife. First of all, it flies open easily, and then look at that. The way it closes, it's so gratifying. And then even when you do that and you feel it, and you feel just the slightest bit of resistance, but glassy resistance as it hammers itself home with the weight of that blade. This knife is incredibly durable. This is one of those knives that you could roll over with, you know, a tractor, and it's gonna be fine. Two very thick slabs of titanium with no weight reduction in the middle or on the insides of them, with very stout standoffs. Look at those standoffs. They're a quarter inch across at least. Just super durable. And then you've got three of them at the back and then a big, big chunky pivot up front. So, but all of that rough and tough and tank likeness belies its silky smoothness, its luxurious feel. And that's what it is. That's what I like about it. It's a luxurious, smooth feel. It's not out of control, tweaking and dropping and drop shutting and threatening to cut your... It's smooth. You know? It's not going to go crazy. It's not going to call your parents. And all right. A very last one is the Sabenza 21. Got to use my right hand for this because there's no left-handed option. But the Sabenza 21, of course, you knew that that was going to be on this list. Defines what I'm talking about here. Of all of these, it is, I don't know, maybe I can't say it's the smoothest because I think I just want to say it's the smoothest, but it really feels like it. You know, that it's just having that Spartan Harzy in my hand, maybe that's smoother, but there's nothing like the feel of a Sabenza. I mean, it defines here. I'm gonna see if I can middle finger flip this with my left hand. Not a chance. Okay, but it defines that feel, and it's something that I'm not even tempted to flick open. I mean, you can. Well, for me, you can. But it's not even a temptation to me because I want to feel it the whole way, opening it and closing it. And I guess what it gives me is surety in hand. I can't tell you how many times, and I've found this to be a virtue, but sometimes not. Like, how many times I've closed a knife and opened a knife, then they're like, is this tight? And that goes to show you how smooth it is because it is tight. But at the same time, it's like, doesn't necessarily make you feel, doesn't make me feel as confident with it necessarily. If I'm constantly testing it, and maybe that's just a personal hurdle I have to get over. But hopefully you'll be here to help me get over that hurdle as you were here to watch me badmouth bearings, which I don't mean to do. I do love bearings. I just love washers more. All right. Thank you. Thanks for watching. Be sure to join us on tomorrow night for Thursday Night Knives, as always. And then the weekend following that, I will not be doing Thursday Night Knives. But I'll tell you about that as it comes up. I say the weekend after that because to me, Thursday Night Knives is the start of the weekend. Also, be sure to join us on Sunday for Carter of Edged Mindset. He's who I was talking about before. I love that guy's channel. I've been with him ever since he was Juju 1313 way back when. And his take on knives has gotten even better. So be sure to join us for that interview. For Jim working his magic behind the switcher, I'd like to say thanks for watching. I'm Bob DeMarco, and I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you, don't take Dolph for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487 and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.